There, he motioned them to thinly padded chairs hitched up before a bare wooden table.
"Please have seats. I'll be right back with your lockbox. Would you like some water or perhaps coffee while you're here?"
"No, that's okay. We ain't gonna be here long."
It was somewhat stuffy in the room, even though the thick adobe walls of the bank building kept it considerably cooler than the heat of the day outside. Holman returned promptly with the square metal box that he placed on the table.
"Here you are. I'll latch the door for your privacy when I leave, but I'll be right outside. Just knock when you're ready, and we'll get the box returned to the vault, and you two can be on your way."
Once Holman was outside, Daisy produced a key and opened the box. Moose Jaw tried not to, but he couldn't help but peek a little bit. The box was in Daisy's name, and had been since back before Moose Jaw met her, or had even arrived in the area. He knew that in addition to a couple of items they had recently placed there together, the box's contents included many things deeply personal to Daisy. Among them, ones she had mentioned to him in the past, was the marriage certificate for her and her late husband, the deed to the blacksmith shop left in her name after he passed away, and some jewelry and other keepsakes that once belonged to her mother. Of interest today, however, was one of the recently added items, a very special one. Daisy reached in, and from the larger box delicately withdrew a small, velvet-covered jewelry case. Her mouth curved into a wide, happy smile as she held it up for both of them to look at. Her eyes danced to Moose Jaw.
"Can I open it up and have another look?"
"Course you can. It's yours, ain't it? You just can't put it on yet."
Daisy opened the velvet case and took out a simple yet nicely crafted engagement ring. She held it between thumb and forefinger and gazed on it adoringly.
"Oh, it's beautiful. I'll never get tired of looking at it, and I'll never, ever take it off."
"You better not."
"Well, if it's so blamed important to you that I keep it on, you big lug, you should have rattled your hocks a lot sooner and got it for me way before this."
"Oh, now let's not get started on that. The main thing is that now you got it. Ain't that right?"
Daisy relented, though still harboring a faint pout.
"I've got it, but I still can't wear it."
"Well, that's coming soon enough. Been our plan for a while now for me to slip it on you and then us announce our engagement as part of the birthday doings. And that time is practically on us. This was never meant to be a surprise birthday party, but we'll sure make it a birthday party with a surprise as a part of it."
"I don't know how many times I thought I was going to bust these past few weeks once the ring finally got here. Me, you, and Mr. Greeble from the general store, all holding back the secret. He's going to be there at the party today, too, isn't he?"
"Said he wouldn't miss it."
Daisy abruptly slipped the ring back into its holder slot, snapped the little box closed, and handed it to Moose Jaw.
"Then I reckon we'd not better be the ones to miss the shindig. Put that deep in a pocket and make sure not to lose it. Let's get ourselves gone from here and off to the party that's waiting for us out at the Double M."
While Daisy was closing and resecuring the lockbox, Moose Jaw got up and went to the door. He gave it a rap with his knuckles, signaling Holman they were ready to be let out. Daisy got up from the table and carried the resecured lockbox over to stand beside him.
"Is something wrong?"
"Probably didn't expect us to be ready quite so soon. It likely got busy with another customer."
It wasn't much longer, though, before an impatient crease formed across his broad forehead, and he was reaching to knock a third time. Before his knuckles made contact, though, the neatly dressed Oscar Holman wasn't standing there to usher them out. Instead, it was a tall, raw-boned hombre decked out in dusty, hard-worn trail clothes and sporting several days' worth of whiskers on a weathered, sneering face. But even more surprising and attention-grabbing was the long-barreled Remington revolver in his fist and the threatening way he waved the gaping hole of its muzzle under Moose Jaw's nose.
"That's right, big man. Come ahead on out. Just step slow and easy and keep those hands up where I can see them plain. Same for the gal, too. Elsewise, that string tie of yours is gonna be dangling from a neck with its head blowed off. You understand?"